Here's Skip Heitzig with a little insight into what sort of business God is in.
God is in the business of making all things new. He does it in salvation, and he will do it in creation later on. If any man is in Christ, Paul said, 2 Corinthians 5, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Everything has become new. That's God's business. He takes a soul, a life, a thirsty, parched person who says, I need Christ, and says, all right, come to me. I'll just remake you. I'll give you a brand new start, a brand new life. I'll make you a new creation.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins.
There's a simple little song that I remember from my Sunday school days that proclaims, heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face because heaven is a wonderful place. Unfortunately, we can often get so caught up with what's going on here on earth that we forget just how wonderful heaven will be, which is why it's good to be reminded of that from time to time. And today, Skip Heitzig shares some reminders of just how wonderful heaven will be here on The Connection. But first, we wanted to help enlighten you a bit with what's going on with the occult these days and a new book by Steve Russo called Fear No Evil.
Vampires, Wicca, and white magic are everywhere in the media, and not just at Halloween. Really now, is there such a thing as a nice witch? Not according to Steve Russo.
Wicca is a self-styled religion. You might call it a buffet religion where there is no definitive answer to this is Wicca because of it being self-styled. What people do is they take a little bit from Christianity, they take a little bit from Hinduism, Buddhism. They make up their own religion. It is, in its essence, it really comes down to the worship of yourself because you define and design your own deities.
America is being slowly and successfully seduced by the occult, and you need to know how to handle it in your family.
We know as Jesus followers, as those who have made that decision to live their life for and like Jesus, the power we need is in the resurrected Christ. And what's happening is kids are looking and they're not finding reality. They're looking in the church. And that's not to say there aren't those who are living, you know, amazing lives as followers of Christ in the church, but kids aren't connecting with a lot of them.
Steve Russo's book, Fear No Evil, gives a blunt and practical approach to understanding the agenda of evil.
From what I have seen, Wicca is the fastest growing religion among high school students and college students in North America. And we have got kids in the church who are delving into Wicca. And part of that has to do with the whole experiential side of this generation, because this generation is all about experience.
The allure of movements like Wicca and the fascination with the power of witches and vampires is a disturbing trend the church can't ignore. Get informed and learn what you can do when you order Fear No Evil for just $15 by calling 1-800-922-1888 or at connectionradio.org.
Well, no matter how dark this world may seem these days, we don't have to fear. And that book is a great reminder of that from Steve Russo. Find out more at 1-800-922-1888 or look online at connectionradio.org. Well, if heaven is going to be such a wonderful place, why do we often act as though it isn't a real place? We'll see if we can find an answer to that question and others about heaven in today's study.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21, and as you find your place, we'll join Skip Heitzig as he continues to explore our amazing future home in heaven.
Heaven is occupied voluntarily. Look at the end of verse 5. He said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said, it's done. This is it. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. That's how the book opened. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He won't force it on you, but if you're thirsty, you can drink. And he who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The end of verse 5, it is almost as if John loses his concentration for just a moment. It's like he's so overwhelmed with this. Wow, new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem, new presence of God. Everything that we've known in terms of sorrow, pain, death, mourning, gone. It's like he's stunned and he drops his quill. It's just like, wow. And then God on the throne has to say, John, get your pen, man. Write. You're not done yet. I have some faithful and true words to tell you. You got a chapter and a half left to go, buddy. Hang in there. Write these things down. And then he describes two classes of people in the future. The occupants of heaven and the non-occupants of heaven. Those who are included and those who are cast out. Who's going to be in heaven? What is the criteria for going there? I heard about a little kid who was just bugging his mom so much one day that she finally in rage says, "Young man, how do you expect to get into heaven?" He said, "Well, I think I'll run in and run out and run in and run out and slam the door each time, and they'll finally say, either stay in or stay out, and I'll just stay in." Well, actually, that's not how you get in. Notice how these occupants of eternity are described. They're described two ways. First of all, in verse 6, him who thirsts. Him who thirsts. To get into heaven, you have to be thirsty. That is, you have to see your need to drink from God's well. That's a metaphor, obviously. Jesus said to the woman at the well of Samaria who is drawing water, Jesus said, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give will never thirst. The water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." And then Jesus said to the Jews in the temple in Jerusalem in John 7, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Who's going to heaven? Those dissatisfied with their present life apart from Jesus Christ, who are thirsty enough and they have a parched enough soul to want to get living water, spiritual drink. Remember David said, "As a deer pants after the streams of water, so pants my soul after you, O God." It's a person who pants after God, a person who is thirsty. The second description is in verse 7, "He who overcomes." Now, who's that? Well, everybody would love to say it's me. There are some people who think heaven is by default. You don't really have to believe and do anything. You just go there if you don't do a lot of bad stuff. Well, it's promised to the overcomer. It's the same phraseology that John saw in the seven letters to the seven churches. Jesus said to each one, "He who overcomes, he who overcomes," and the promise was given. What does it mean to overcome? Overcome what? Well, listen to this description that John writes in his little epistle, a couple books before Revelation. 1 John chapter 5. "Everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." So when you're born again, born of God, by faith, you overcome. Somebody will say, "Great, that's me. I believe in God." Listen to John's next verse. "Who is that who overcomes the world? He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." It's faith in Christ alone and his provision alone that is the overcomer. He's the Son of God and the Savior. Then the outcasts are given in verse 8. And a list is given. And notice, there's no partying in hell. You ever heard people say that? "I'd rather go to hell, dude. All my friends are there." Could be. Is that any reason to go, "Yeah, man, we're going to party hardy in hell"? No, you won't. There'll be a terrible fellowship of this group that is listed in verse 8. You know, every now and then there's a tabloid that has life after death experience or alien encounter. And then I died, and when I died, I saw this bright light and warm feeling. And what they don't publish is all of the other life after death experiences that are very negative. And there's more negative ones than positive ones. It's been set out in a book by Dr. Morris Rowlings, a cardiologist. Even Jerry Lewis, the comedian who had a heart attack and had heart surgery, had a near-death experience. And he said, technically, I was dead for 17 seconds. Believe me, Judy Garland isn't there. It isn't beautiful. It is bleak. It is bleak. Now, there's a list here of people. It's not just, here's the believers, the overcomers, those who thirst, and the non-believers. Notice there's a list. It identifies the character of those who are there, so that people will know who they are. First of all, the cowardly. I think this refers to a person who is unwilling to make a stand for Jesus Christ. They don't endure, and that's one of the translations, those who don't endure. Remember Jesus said that there was a group of people like the seed that was sown on rocky soil that endure for a while, but when tribulation arises because of the word, they're gone. They don't endure. There was never that saving faith. They may have raised a hand, they may have shed a tear, they may have felt a heartbeat at an altar call, but they never made a commitment to stand for Jesus Christ. They're described here as the cowardly. Jesus said, if you abide, if you continue in me, then you are my disciples indeed. Now this ought to put to rest any notion that there's a second chance after death. There is not. The chances are here and now. Also on the list, unbelieving, that is, they lack saving faith, that is demonstrated by their life. Notice also sexually immoral. Now again, these are traits of people who make it a lifestyle. This is their habit, this is their pattern of life. They have not repented of these things. It's not that a person has to be perfect to get to heaven who's never, ever done any one of these things. You'll see that in a minute. This is the lifestyle description of these people. The sexually immoral, the word is pornos, we get the term pornography. Technically, it refers to fornication, having sex with somebody before you're married to them. But it has become a word in the Bible that covers a gamut of any sexual immorality, be it adultery, fornication, homosexuality, sodomy, incest, is all under that biblical banner of sexual immorality or pornos. Then sorcerers are mentioned. Interesting word, pharmakia. We get the word pharmacy from that term. Pharmacy. And it means the using of drugs usually associated with the worship of another god. Spiritism. Then idolaters, those who give supreme devotion to anyone or anything else other than God. Liars. Isn't that interesting? Liars. That would certainly include those who say they're Christians but don't live a lifestyle of a believing person. They say, Lord, Lord. And Jesus said, they'll say that to me in that day and I'll say, depart from me. Ah, but Lord, we did this and said this. A liar, then, is somebody who makes a profession with their mouth, but it's not a real profession, it's a lie. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do the things which I say? Now, as you look at verse 8, you might get a little worried because you think, well, it kind of describes me before I was saved. I've done some of those things, you might say. I can fit in some of these categories. But the point and the difference is now you're in Christ. If you've given him your life, if you've repented of your sins, if you're born again, you're in Christ. Let me show you the difference. Turn back with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 9 of that book. And that chapter, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. You go, oh, I've committed some of those. Notice the next verse. And such were some of you. He doesn't say, and such are some of you. He's speaking to a group of believers, and such were some of you. That's past tense. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. It's been said that there's three things that will surprise us in heaven. The people you expect to be there who aren't, the people you don't expect to be there who are, and the greatest wonder of all, that we ourselves are there. But why are we there? Because we're in Christ, and His blood has washed away all of those sins. And that is not our lifestyle anymore. It's not a lifestyle in rebellion against God. That's not our pattern and our habit. We're in Christ. Finally, then, in Revelation 21, we see that heaven is reserved presently. It's reserved presently. It is occupied voluntarily. It's not by default. It's not by force. And heaven is reserved here and now presently. Verse 5, I think, is the key to that. The phrase is, "Behold, I make all things new." It's in the present tense. It could be translated, "Behold, I am continually making all things new." In other words, that description is God's continual occupation. God is in the business of making all things new. He does it in salvation, and He will do it in creation later on. If any man is in Christ, Paul said, 2 Corinthians 5, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Everything has become new. That's God's business. He takes a soul, a life, a thirsty, parched person who says, "I need Christ," and says, "All right, come to me. I'll just remake you. I'll give you a brand new start, a brand new life. I'll make you a new creation." When He does that, then you're on the way to a new heaven and a new earth. But this is God's continued occupation. Now, since heaven is occupied voluntarily and reserved presently, let me ask you a question. Are you going there? Are you sure that you're going there? And I think it's time, if you haven't thought about it in the past enough, to think about it right now. Are you sure you're going there? What makes you so sure? Well, I'm not a bad person. I mean, there are others that are worse. Well, there are others that are better. There's a lot of people better than me. I'm not going to heaven because I'm good. I'm not going to heaven because I preach sermons. Jesus said, "Unless a man is born again, he will never see the kingdom of God." And He said that to a religious dude, Nicodemus, a Pharisee of the Jewish religion. He was the closest, they thought, to God. Jesus said, "Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you will never get to heaven." He didn't say, "Nicodemus, I think you ought to be born again. It'd be nice if you were. You have the option." He said, "You must be. You must be." No one will ever get to heaven unless they are. You know, that term, born again, has become such a cliche. It's sort of a synonym for an American almost. Yeah, the born again. Or some people will say, "Well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not one of the born again ones." They ain't no other. According to Jesus Christ, if you are born again, you are a Christian. If you're a Christian, you're born again. It doesn't matter what flavor you are, chocolate, vanilla, twist, strawberry, what denomination, you must be born again. Another translation of that is you have to be born from above. Just like you were born physically, you have to be born spiritually. Change of mind, change of heart, change of lifestyle. Behold, I make all things new. God can make you new today. You say, "What do I have to do?" Well, Jesus said, you have to come to Him. As many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become children of God, to those that believe in, rely on, adhere to His name. And when you do that, when you turn to Jesus Christ, when there's that new change of heart, you'll become a new creation. And when you become a new creation now in Jesus Christ, then you have a reservation, a spot in the new heaven, the new earth, that will last forever. And then you'll be able to sigh one day and go, "I'm home." A man wrote a letter to a pastor. The minister said he's going to speak on heaven next Sunday night. He had a radio broadcast in Los Angeles. During the week, he got a letter from a man who was sick. And the man said, "Next Sunday, Pastor, you're going to talk about heaven. I'm interested in that land. Because I have a clear title deed to a bit of property for over 50 years there. I didn't buy it. It was given to me without money, without price, but the donor purchased it for me at tremendous sacrifice. I'm not holding it for speculation since the title is not transferable. It's not a vacant lot either. For more than a half a century, I've been sending materials up there, out of which the greatest architect and builder of the universe has been building a home for me, which will never need to be remodeled nor repaired because it will suit me perfectly individually and never grow old. Termites can never undermine its foundations, for they rest on the rock of ages. Fire cannot destroy it. Floods cannot wash it away. No locks or bolts will ever be placed upon its doors, for no vicious person can ever enter that land where my dwelling now stands. And it's almost completed, almost ready for me to enter in and abide in peace eternally without fear of being ejected. There is a valley of deep shadow between the place where I live in California and that to which I shall journey in a very short time. I cannot reach my home in that city of gold without passing through this dark valley of shadows. But I am not afraid because the best friend I ever had went through that same valley long ago and drove away all of its gloom. He has stuck by me through thick and thin since we first became acquainted 50 years ago. And I hold his promise in printed form never to forsake or to leave me alone. He will be with me as I walk through the valley of shadows, and I shall not lose my way when he is with me. I hope to hear your sermon on heaven next Sunday from my home in Los Angeles, but I have no assurance that I'll be able to do so. You see, my ticket to heaven has no date mark for the journey, no return coupon, no permit for baggage. Yes, I am all ready to go, and I may not be there while you're talking next Sunday evening. But I shall meet you there someday. Isn't that great? I'm going home, and I might beat you there before your sermon. That man did pass away, and he was able to say, I'm home. Now I'm home. Now I see. It's a real place, and that's why we've taken such a time to go through it these last few weeks. Some people accuse Christians of being so heavenly minded they're no earthly good. I think if you want to be any earthly good at all, you'll be heavenly minded. Because you realize this stuff is so temporary.
You know, we can cling to the things of this world as tightly as we want, but sooner or later, death will loosen our grip. However, if you're clinging to heaven, there's no force in the universe that can pull it from your grasp. So the question is, what are you holding on to? Are you holding on to the temporal or the eternal? As history's last chapter draws ever closer, that's an important question to answer. And we're just about out of time for today. But before we go, we wanted to remind you that as a member of the Global Connectors, you can help the good news of eternity with Christ travel all around the world, even if you don't ever leave your home.
The Central American nation of Belize has the second largest offshore reef in the world and most extensive cave system in all of Central America. It also has 127 offshore keys, numerous rivers for rafting and kayaking, wildlife reserves, and of course, miles of gorgeous Caribbean beaches. All of these factors and more draw tourists and thrill-seeking adventurers from all over the globe. But these thrills are short-term. The ultimate joy in life is to know eternal life through Jesus Christ. That is the mission of Lighthouse Christian Radio Broadcasting from San Pedro and also heard in Belize City. It is here that The Connection and other Bible-based programs are bringing hope and truth about the real paradise of heaven.
The Connection has Lighthouse Christian Radio. They have a huge impact on the community out there. Everybody knows who that is, and they give away those free radios where it only tunes into the one radio station, and it's a solar power. So those are, kids are just dying to get their hands on those.
You can help the ministry of The Connection reach the people of Belize and other nations around the world with a gospel as a member of the Global Connectors. It's just $25 a month to be a member, and when you sign up, we'll also send you a new teaching each month. Help us share the good news of God's love with people all over the world as a member of the Global Connectors. It's just $25 a month, but that small amount may make an eternal difference. Join the Global Connectors today when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
And when you call us to sign up for the Global Connectors, don't forget to ask for a copy of today's teaching. It's available on CD for just $6, including shipping, and you can order by calling 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. As always, anything you share above that suggested donation will help us continue these daily broadcasts. So if you'd like to help the ongoing ministry of The Connection, think about sharing a little extra when you call us at 1-800-922-1888 or when you write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
In our next study, we'll take a closer look at what the city of heaven will look like and what it will be like to live there. Here in The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.